If you'll turn in your pew Bibles to page 756, or if you're using the large print Bible, it's on page 984. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16 and 20 to 24. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search out my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they're among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost and will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns, until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you turn in your hymnal to page 821, we'll read responsively Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come with God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord who made us is God. We are the Lord's. We are the people of God, the sheep of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks and bless God's name. For the Lord is good. Steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. It can be found on page 181 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, or on page 234 if you're using the larger print edition. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My friends, give you the opportunity now to stand as you are able for the reading of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. If you're reading in the Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 27 in the New Testament. And if you're in the large print edition, it's on page 35. Hear what may be a familiar story, certainly in line with our understanding of Christ as the Good Shepherd. And this is Jesus speaking. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of My family, you did it to Me." Then He will say to those at His left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from Me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And He will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of these least of these, you did not do it for Me." And these will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I bring you greetings on behalf of the Rocky Mountain Conference of the United Methodist Church and our Bishop Elaine Stanofsky. It's such a pleasure to be here worshiping with you. Thank you to Pastor Will, wherever he disappeared. For invitation, oh, there he is, okay, for invitation to be here and to share with you this morning. I want to let you know that I do keep this church, as all of my churches, in prayer. I'm the district superintendent for the Metro District, Metropolitan District of Denver, which means that a whole lot of the churches of Denver I have responsibility for, and Burns is one of them. I do think of you often, and I pray for you and your leadership. It's fun watching you and seeing what you are up to. This is one of my churches that takes very seriously its involvement in the world and its social expression. You've got three different language groups in this church, and that's exciting to see how that works and how that's functioning in a worship, in a community of faith like this. It's just exciting to be a part of this. So thank you for my invitation to be here today. Heard a story of an old man who called his son in New York City, and he said, "Son, I just want to tell you, your mother and I are going to get divorced. I just can't take it anymore. I can't take all the arguing and all the bickering. I'm just not going to take it anymore. We're going to get divorced. I just want to call you and let you know. Would you please call your sister and tell her?" And he called his sister in Chicago and says, "Pops just called me. He said that he and Mom are getting divorced." She said, "No way. That isn't going to happen. Listen, I'm going to call him up right now and straighten this thing out." And she did that. She called him back up in Denver. She said, "Pop, this isn't going to happen. You and Mom are not going to get divorced. Now listen, I'm going to call my brother back up and we're going to come out tomorrow. Don't do anything until we get there. We're going to be there tomorrow." And she hung up. The old man turned to his wife and said, "Well, the kids are going to be here for Thanksgiving and they're paying their own way." Now, I don't know what it takes to get the kids out for Thanksgiving, but this is Thanksgiving Sunday, and I know some of you are looking forward to celebrating with your families and having people with you that you haven't seen for a while, and loved ones. It's a beautiful time of year, actually. I love the whole Thanksgiving season. I know this started off as a national holiday, but it's such a spiritual holiday too that it's one of my favorite times of the year. And so I particularly like the psalm that we read this morning, Psalm 100. Listen to the first part of that. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing." Why? Because we're God's people, that's why. "Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us. We are God's. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture." That's why. That's why we can be joyous. That's why we can be glad and happy. I know that this psalm has to do with Israel bringing a thank offering to the temple, and they're coming into the presence of God. They're coming to the temple, singing songs of joy and gladness. But what if we looked at this as a metaphor for life? I mean, how does God want God's people to be, if not joyous, if not glad? Come into God's presence. And God is all through life. Come into God's presence with joy and thanksgiving. This is a very spiritual thing. You know, there are several aspects of life which are important. Several aspects of life that we may have more control over than we think we do. I want to talk today about attitudes. I mean, attitudes are something we do have a lot of control over. There's also behavior. There's also relationships. There's many aspects of life that are important. But this is an attitude of joy. And I think that it's something that we have some control over. We don't have to say, "Well, you know, if everything's going right in my life, and if I'm feeling pretty good today and nothing bad has happened, and you know, I'm not in too much pain when I got up this morning, well then, you know, I can be pretty happy about things." Then you are reacting to your life. And you're relinquishing power over some of the most important aspects of your life. Don't react. Don't react to the way things are. Respond. Make a decision. Take control of it. You've got the power to do that. You can respond to your life instead of reacting to it. I know life is tough. There's a lot of tough times. There's a lot of difficulties. There's some times that are so bad, yes, we're going to be in grief. There are times we're going to cry. There's times we're going to be in a lot of pain. That's the way life is. That is a normal part of life. But what about the rest of life? Are we going to take control over that? Are we going to choose how we respond to life? That spiritual giant of the 20th century, Henri Nouwen, said this. He said, "Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day." I believe that. I think if we don't choose it, we're just going to react to whatever is happening in our lives. Choose joy. You've heard it said, life is not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning how to dance in the rain. That's it. We can wait for the storms of life to pass. We can wait for the sun to come out and the earth to dry and the birds to sing and the sky to be blue and all of that happy stuff before we're going to feel any kind of joy. Or we can learn how to dance in the rain. Because, folks, there's a lot of rain in life. And I don't mean rain like living in Colorado. No, there's not a lot of rain in Colorado. But there's a lot of rain in our lives. There's a lot of tough times. So we learn how to dance in the rain. We talk a lot in church about, well, how do we connect with our communities? How do we reach people who are outside the church? You know that people who are not a part of communities of faith today tend to have some stereotypes about church and church people. Church people are hypocrites. We hear that. Church people are judgmental. We hear that. Church people are holier than thou. Now, I'm not saying this is true. I'm hoping and I'm counting on in Burns that this is not true. I'm just saying that this is the attitude of our culture. A culture in which most people today are not a part of a community of faith. And these are the kinds of things that we hear. What if they experience the church as something radically different than that? A group of joyous people living life authentically. Living life in joy and gladness. And their basic response to life is one of joy and peace and service. What if our culture knew that about churches? So the psalm goes on to say, enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless God's name, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations. I'm thinking of a woman I used to know. She was in my last congregation. I had only been there for a few weeks, and someone in the church suggested I go call on Donna because Donna has pancreatic cancer. And her prognosis was that she was not going to live very long. So I stopped by her house. I introduced myself to her, and I met this woman who really seemed to be quite peaceful and quite... I almost want to say joyous. How do you say that when a person is dying of cancer? But that was what I experienced from her. And at some point in the conversation, I asked her, well, so Donna, how are you feeling? And you know what she said to me? She said, life sparkles. Isn't that interesting? Life sparkles. Well, I didn't know what she meant by that, so I gave her that blank look that I wear so much of the time as I go through life. And she pointed me to the window, and we looked out. It was a cold winter day. Snow had fallen, but the sun was shining and reflecting off the snow. And she said, isn't that beautiful? And so I thought, I see what you mean. Life sparkles because, well, the sun is shining on the snow and it's sparkling off the snow. That's not what she meant. She said, it's beautiful outside. The sky is blue. And then she pointed to this room in her little house. And there were flowers that were given to her when she was in the hospital. And there were some meals that were brought in by the church family and by her friends. And there were cards that were propped up on the counter. And she said, look at this. All the kindnesses of friends. People are so good. Life sparkles. I knew that somehow I was in the presence of wisdom. Greater wisdom than I've got. She was choosing to find things in her life for which she could give thanks. She was choosing an attitude, a response to life that was appreciative. And in so doing, it was as if she were experiencing the little things of life for the very first time. Or was it for the very last time? I don't know. But here she was, dying of cancer. And life sparkles. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. I had her funeral just a few months after that time. And as I was thinking about what to say about Donna at this time of real grief and heartache, one of the first things that came to my mind was life sparkles. Life sparkles. You know, it's easy to feel gratitude when the kids are feeding and we just won the lottery and we have terminal illness, but oh, we've recovered and everything's fine, so we're going to be happy and gracious and feel thanksgiving. But what about the rest of life? Because those things usually don't happen. What about the ordinary things of life? Do you have control over your response, your attitude? This is a very spiritual thing. The psalm says, come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Why? Because the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. That's the reason. It's not because we're Pollyanna and we want to just go through life thinking everything is wonderful all the time. Life is tough. But we're spiritual people who can choose a spiritual response to what life gives us. And that response is that we belong to God, God is good, and God's love endures forever. And if you know that, if you know that in the core of your being, then you have a choice of how to go through your life. What if we were to go through life choosing thanksgiving, choosing to look for what we're appreciative of, choosing gratitude? I heard just recently one of the best versions of footprints in the sand that I've ever heard. And you know what I mean by footprints in the sand. The poem goes, if you remind me later, I just thought of something really funny about that poem, but I'm going to get off on that and I'm never going to get back. So, but the poem goes something like, "The Lord, last night I had a dream and I looked into the sky and scenes of my life were flashing by and I saw two sets of footprints in the sand and then when the scenes were showing the difficult times of my life and the roughest times of my life and when I was suffering, I saw only one set of footprints in the sand." You remember that part. But then this version goes on to say, "And then the footprints came back together and they were walking side by side. And all of a sudden they diverged and they went two different ways. And then they came back and they crisscrossed and then they separated again. And then there was some circles in the sand and the sand was all churned up. And then they came back together and they walked on side by side. Lord, I think I get it when we're walking and I see two footprints in the sand. That's you promising to be with me and you're walking with me through life. And the times that are the toughest, I see only one set. I understand that's when you carried me through those difficult times. But this is what I don't get. I come to the part where the footprints diverge and they come back and they crisscross and there's these circles and the sand is all churned up. I don't understand that, Lord." And the Lord said, "Don't you see, my child? Those were the times that we danced. Isn't that wonderful? Those are the times that we danced." I think sometimes that maybe the only appropriate response to the goodness of God is to dance. Dance. Now, I understand this is your stewardship Sunday, and you're going to be bringing in your pledge cards. Thank you for your faithfulness to your church, to your God. I wanted to just close with saying something very personal about my own thoughts of stewardship. There's some things in my life I'm thankful for. And, you know, one thing, I don't like to give because I ought to. I don't really enjoy paying my taxes. You know, I don't. I do it. But it's not at the top of my list of things that I just really enjoy doing. But I like to give out of gratitude. So I'm thankful for my personal health and for the health of my family. And you may remember a year ago that the conference challenged all of our churches to give to Imagine No Malaria. I'm going to give you a very interesting report at our conference this afternoon on how that came out. And I'm going to leave that as a teaser, because I just know that whatever other plans you had today, you're going to be there now so that you can hear this very interesting report. But I'm so thankful that my kids don't have to go to bed at night under mosquito nets in order to stay well. So when the bishop came to the cabinet and said that before we take this to the conference, I want to challenge you to give sacrificially, I joyously gave sacrificially to that, because I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for my spiritual family. You know, I didn't grow up in a church. I know what it's like not to have a spiritual family. Yet I look back over most of my life, and the church family has become my family in some ways more than my biological family. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. So I joyously give to God through my church. I'm thankful for the education that I've had, the education I was able to give to my children. And so one time, my wife and I and one of our kids went with a youth group down to Mexico to an orphanage that we were doing some volunteer work at, and we became acquainted with a young teenage woman, a girl by the name of Juanita. And we kind of fell in love with her. She was a very promising student and just a beautiful heart. And we made arrangements that after she graduated from high school, my wife and I would pay for her college. And this last year, she graduated with a degree in education. She has broken the cycle of poverty in her family, a cycle that's gone on for generations. We do that joyously because we're thankful for the education we have. It's out of thanksgiving that we give. And so today you're going to be bringing up your pledge cards and rededicating your lives to God through this church. Will you do it out of thanksgiving? Will you choose that attitude? Will you choose joy? Will you take control of that part of your life and respond to your life in appreciation and gratitude? This is all part of the dance with God. Stewardship, service, a life in the church. It's one of the ways we dance with God. Amen.
Thank you, Steve, very much for those words.